With facilities and services at our state health clinics and hospitals already dysfunctional, some experts are warning that things could further deteriorate as the public purse shrinks. As we know, South Africa is in a technical recession, our unemployment rate is on a high, and we have suffered junk status gradings by two ratings agencies. To look more closely at the impact on healthcare is Russell Rensburg, the Health Systems and Policy Manager at the Rural Health Advocacy Project. Russell, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
First off the bat, what is your view of the passionate idea of Health Minister Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi of South Africa having a national health system? On paper, it does look good, but a lot of people are saying the practicalities are not so good.
You know, I fully support the minister's vision for a national health insurance. As you know, I think the minister probably articulated quite well that your access to health in this country is often based on your socioeconomic status and not your need for health care. So, in principle, the NHI as a vision and something that we need to go to is totally non-negotiable. I mean, currently, if you look at, let's say, for instance, I don't have the exact figures now, but for by way of explanation, let's say we spend 10 billion rand on health as a country every year. You know, 5 billion is spent on 18% of our population, right? And 5 billion is spent on the rest of the other 75% of our population who don't enjoy medical aid cover. So I think it's not hard to see that there's an equal access to healthcare. So over time, I think, yes, the national health insurance is definitely a step in the right direction.
Now, it does seem, though, that we can dream, and I myself would love to see national health insurance, having to go through the public health system and seeing how it works, and sometimes, unfortunately, how it actually doesn't work. But how are all of these downgrades, and how does the economic scenario affect us in terms of health? And of course, we've got the whole state capture ghost hovering over us as well. Two provinces captured in terms of health services, it seems.
Look, I'm not going to really venture an opinion on state capture at this point, because I think there's a fair amount of discourse around that, and I'm sort of going to stick myself to some of the known facts.
Right.
Like, if we look at how we fund healthcare, right, we fund healthcare, or at least public healthcare in this country, through quite a complex process. You know, first, we obviously fund national health. It looks after policy and the regulation of the health market. And then we fund the provinces, who in turn fund district health services. Now, all of this money comes from the National Revenue Fund. Over the last years, our growth hasn't been great. You know, and our net cat, even this year, we didn't meet our tax targets. Right, so currently all our system is completely underfunded. You know, so we're not spending or not budgeting enough money to cover the basic services that we provide. So in essence, what we're seeing is that provinces a lot of the provinces are running like technical deficits, where in some instances, if you look at like the KZN province, they pay 100 or a billion rand in debt at the moment. So that's money that they have to spend before they can even look at their current health infrastructure. So we have some challenges there. The problem is sort of compounded when we start looking at what lies ahead. So in the first instance, our national budgets are set up on growth targets. So the budget table by the former minister in February anticipated a growth of 1.2% in the coming years. So now we know already we're in a recession. That can only be 0.7% growth, and that's likely to get worse. So already next year, we're going to be underfunded. So we're going to start having to look for money and look at which things to prioritize. So the challenge is that health will have to fight with education, with social development, and others to be able to get at this necessary share out of the national budget. So yes, the challenge is there. How it's going to play out, we're already seeing it play out. You know, facilities are underfunded, understaffed. And often people aren't getting access to the basic health services that they've grown accustomed to.
In fact, I believe in KwaZulu-Natal, in the public health system, there are only two urologists, and even then they can't function because they don't have the equipment.
Well, that's indicative of all the provinces, in a sense. I think KwaZulu-Natal, the spotlight is shining on them at the moment. But for me, our main issue is obviously on the lower levels of care. And even at district hospitals, we are seeing the shortage of doctors, nurses. where there are vacancies but departments are choosing not to fill them because of budget constraints. You know, so I think eventually you start picking at this cherry over and over again, and eventually there's nothing left to pick, and you start cutting into the bone, and there's a deterioration of services. And I think that's essentially what we've seen happening over the last 2 to 3 years. So the specialist is just it's just finding a light on one aspect of the health system. But overall, we are having challenges in maintaining our health infrastructure.
So how on earth do we actually deal with this? We've got Dr. Motsoaledi on the one side. When you interview him, he's tearing his hair out, actually. You can see he's plainly extremely frustrated because I think he realizes the urgency that we do need a functioning health system. So in the short term, what in the hell do we do?
We start introducing the National Health Insurance. I think the first thing we do is we change the way we fund health.
Right.
I think we should make health a national priority, where we fund the health budget directly. We take away all the different layers. At the moment, the money comes from Parliament, from Treasury to National Health, from National Health to the provinces, to the provinces to the districts. It's quite a complicated chain. Maybe we should fund the districts directly. Yeah, maybe we should start looking at alternative service delivery platforms. Maybe we should. There's a number of different things that we can do. I think there's an acknowledgement that we have a crisis, right? But I think sometimes our structures don't allow for us to address these crises in the manner that we should. I think when the authors of our constitution never anticipated that we would have a federal state,
mm-hmm.
which we have at the moment. And I think provinces have way too much discretion in the way they allocate funding. And if they continually to underfund health to serve other priorities, I think the challenges is going to become harder and harder. And I think through the introduction of the NHI, the minister is making some attempts to address how we fund healthcare by sort of just consolidating everything. And I think the misconception around the NHI is that it won't necessarily just be delivered through the public sector. You know, I think it will be delivered through a combination of providers. Yeah, we could even have a situation where your local doctor could be contracted to the NHI and you could access healthcare there, as opposed to just going through a clinic. And I think that's the goal of the National Health Insurance. It just pools resources into one central fund that's accessible to everybody.
In fact,
I don't think we need to be afraid of the NHI.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, what you're saying to me is what I've heard Dr. Motsoaledi say himself, that he sees it as a complete holistic system where it has to be a win-win for it to actually work. And his view and the view of some of the more intelligent people in the department are that it has to be inclusive, not exclusive. And by being inclusive, everybody wins because all the doctors get work and everybody benefits with in terms of the national health insurance being distributed right across the country.
Exactly, and I think that's the goal that we're working towards. I think for us, the initial crisis is around how we fund, right? And the way we fund is complicated, and I think the NHI allows an opportunity to simplify that, but we're a long way off from that, right? I think in the next 2 to 3 years, as we roll out the initial pilot fund, which looks at young women, people living with disabilities, and the elderly, we can start testing some of these criteria and just see how inclusive we can make the health system. You know, I think we need to move away from an environment where your ability to access health is determined by your socioeconomic status or where you live. You know, if you're born in a city, you're probably likely to access health or be able to access health in a much simpler way. It will maybe cost you a taxi trip to your local clinic. If you have something serious, you can go to the hospital. But more than 40% of our population still live in rural areas. You know, and the vast majority of those people are probably under 35. Black, poor, and unable to access services. And I think 20 years into our democracy, it's just not equitable to continue to perpetuate apartheid-like inequalities. You know, and I think we need to work towards a system that really looks after the most vulnerable first. And you asked earlier a question around what do we need to do. I think as money gets less, we need to prioritize those people that can't access health any other way but through the public sector. So that's where our spending needs to go, and then we can learn as we continue. But we are headed for the challenge. This little technical recession, like they like to call it, will be a protracted recession because there's a general lack of confidence in where the country is going. And I think we need 2019 to happen so we can get some certainty as to what the future looks like. But I think in the near term, we may have a challenge. And then it's not just the public sector that will battle. You know, one of the things that goes with the recessions is job losses.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we know medical aid is linked to jobs. Right? So when you lose your job, you lose your medical aid. And then you also have to, and then what happens is there's less people on medical aid. If there's less people on medical aid, the prices of medical aid will go up. And in a way, become unaffordable for a lot of families. You know, so we're all in this boat together. And I think it's important that we all learn to educate ourselves on our health rights. You know, advocate within our communities to ensure that we protect our right to health. I mean, our constitution provides some clear guidance in Section 27A, where it says everybody has the right to health services, including reproductive health.
And sorry, Russell, we have to end it there, but thanks a lot. I think you have ended on a profound note. I think we need to pick up this conversation at another date where we can have more time and we can actually solve, theoretically at least, a lot of these problems. But Russell Rensburg, Health Systems and Policy Manager for the Rural Health Advocacy Project, thanks for chatting to us and thanks for the ideas.
Thanks for the opportunity to chat and have a good afternoon. Thank you for listeners. Goodbye.
Drive Time 91.3, always on the cutting edge.